This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station. And good morning, my friend. Welcome to a special Thursday morning talk show on this fourth day of August 2011. The temperature has broken, except here in the studio where the air conditioner is broken. So we're filling the studio with additional hot air today, at least on my behalf. I'll say that. But my guests will give us some valuable information. Mickey Robinson from the Coal Country Chamber of Commerce. Paul Skeens, the superintendent of District 7. Gentlemen, good morning. It's good to have you in the studio. We were wondering if we were going to get you here yet this morning. So,
well, we were delayed and on the way over because of a slow train going through Litchfield. And I've never seen one that slow before. Oh, but yeah. Backed up through several traffic lights, but we made it in time anyway.
Just in the nick of time, absolutely. Well, Paul, it's that time of year where school kicking back into session, and giddy up, here we go again, man.
Well, you know, it seems like every summer goes faster than the one before. I don't know what causes that. Perhaps it's really that way. I don't know. But, you know, when you're extremely busy, and, of course, you know, we are in a building program, and we're doing lots of things, and there is no time anymore. It's just one thing right after another. So we've been very, very busy this summer. Therefore, the time has gone quickly, but we are ready to open school in a week or so. We have the teachers coming in on the 17th, and then the students come for the first day on the 18th, and the first full day on the 19th.
Wow.
And we're back in session, and you know what? Kids are ready to come back.
Yeah, they are.
They love summer break. They look forward to it. But a couple of weeks after summer break's over, you know, they kind of start missing their friends and, you know, all the stuff that the camaraderie in school. So they're ready to come back, and we're ready to welcome them back.
It's the social aspect that everybody tends to forget about in school,
right,
until you're out for about two or three
There's
weeks.
Several curriculums in a school. There's the approved written curriculum that the Board of Education approves, and then there's all other kinds of curriculum that students participate in, and you know, sometimes they learn from the other curriculums quicker than they do,
sure,
from the approved curriculum. But we're ready to welcome them back. We're ready to welcome all of our staff back, both the certificated and non-certificated, and we're looking forward to another wonderful year.
How about the building project? How's that progressing along?
Well, that's another part of it. We developed the site. We're in the process of developing the site for the building program. We've gotten a road into the site, and they start the mine grouting probably about the 6th of September, and then it will continue for a couple of months. In the meantime, the foundation, they're going to start where we're going to actually place the building first. And then as they move off of that site, we'll start with the foundation work. And it won't be long before we'll see structure going up on the site. And hopefully we will be able to move into the new building in the winter of 2012, which is not this school year, but next school year. And so that's the target date, and we're looking forward to making that target date work.
Boy, once the structure starts going up, it'll go quick.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, it's a building that's planned to go up quickly.
Mm-hmm.
We hope all the pieces fit together. We have a PLA with the labor group and project labor agreement, and they've assured us that they will do everything they can to make it go smoothly. So we're looking for a nice project. Hopefully it will, the weather will cooperate, and we'll be able to get in the building as planned.
And the new building will be environmentally favorable?
Yeah, actually, Terry, there's a thing out, certification out there that's called LEED, L-E-E-D, Leading Environmental Educational Design. And they have several categories that you try to achieve. It starts with the bronze and then goes to silver and then gold and then platinum.
Oh.
And platinum is the highest level for a green building, meaning that it, you know, you can actually build a building that sometimes sells power back to the grid. We're not going to probably make the platinum. That takes a tremendous amount of money to achieve that. But right now we are in the gold category. We hope to remain in the gold category. And the Capital Development Board, the state board, requires us to meet at least silver. So we're going to be a step above that. We're looking at geothermal heat and cooling. We'll have over 100 wells with loops that run through the earth, provide heating and cooling for the school. We're looking at photovoltaic cells for sun energy, and then we're looking at wind turbines for some wind-powered energy. And then we're doing things with windows and glass and roof and orientation to the sun and et cetera that will make it a very, very green building.
And along with being green and energy efficient, it's also another tool to help educate the students on being more energy efficient and looking for different technologies.
Yes, in February of last year, the architect and I appeared before the Clean Energy Commission in Chicago, and we made our application and told what we wanted to do, and we have applied for grants through them. We think we're going to get, it's not been officially announced, but we're looking forward to getting a grant for geothermal for $400,000. And another grant for photovoltaic cells and another for wind power, possibly. So those grants would take us in the area of about $650,000 to $700,000. And that money would be used to accomplish some of the things that we're talking about. So if that occurs, and we think it will, you know, we're going to use our center, or the building, as a educational center for people all over the state. We'll hold conferences and meetings and provide tours, et cetera, for green building. In fact, the Board of Education, myself and the architect, we visited a school in Kentucky that has achieved gold certification, and we viewed some of the things that they had accomplished. Many of them are things that we're doing, too. And so, therefore, you know, it becomes inherent on all of us to be as energy conscious as we can be, and new buildings going up for educational purposes, they can meet certain standards, and that's what we're trying to do.
Sort of like Field of Dreams, if you build it, they will come,
right?
And you want people to be able to share this knowledge.
And this building is going to be 93,000 square feet. Yeah. It's going to have all the classroom space that's needed for the children that we have, including the special education children and the, you know, the federal grant children. And also, we're going to construct a gymnasium that can be used for performance, probably for girls' sports or junior high sports or something like that. And in that setting will also be a full stage that can handle productions for our plays and things of that nature. I'm just so looking forward to seeing it completed, and I can't wait for the community to have the groundbreaking and the open house. Those are fun events to participate in.
That's great, Paul. Let's kind of turn our attention here, and haven't had Mickey say much here this morning. Good morning, Mickey.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us. And of course, one of the big things that took place in Bunnell was the Coliseum fire, and you were right there on the scene. And
was there?
That was pretty pretty intense, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And they had the fire pretty well under control within the hour and a half. Mm-hmm. But when that thing all of a sudden exploded, not explosion itself, but it just blew up like.
Yeah.
It just went right through the roof, 30, 40, 50 feet up, and you can see it. And there's some special pictures in several newspapers already been out. And even that night, people were talking, what are you going to do about this? What are you going to do about that? You know, people were thinking.
Sure.
And wild stories.
Well, and we are talking about a landmark.
Oh, yes.
So
a landmark it is.
And a landmark along Old 66.
Right. Very few people use that phrase, Old Route 6, the original Route 66.
The original 66, there. That's right.
But on Sunday, well, we were there until about 4 o'clock Sunday morning. The fire department was there for another hour. But I went back at 7, and you could have saw the people coming up, and they were just unbelievable there. And also on Sunday, there was words floating around about taking that big Coliseum sign down and taking it up to the Route 66 museum up in Pontiac, Illinois. And right then and there, I decided right then and there, and I start calling certain people, hey, guys, let's get together a committee and let's make sure we don't lose anything out of here.
Well,
we also got an idea for a chamber member Annie Hauser at Quality Flooring made a comment that why don't we see if we can get some bricks from them if they're going to total it out. The fire marshal hasn't made his final report, and the insurance hasn't done much either until they come out with that. But we want to take the bricks and put the Coliseum Ballroom name on it and put the day it was born and the day it died and sell them to raise funds for many different ideas are floating. But one thing I would like, the portion that's always been in my dream in the chamber, they have a Route 66 museum. And this is a perfect example. It depends on what the owners will do.
Sure.
They're still in the turmoil. They're waiting for all this, and they've been trying to clean up as much as they can. But the sightseers is tough to you. And just to give you a good idea, it's not the beautiful thing, but on Sunday, Tony's Restaurant, from the moment they open up at 5:30 Sunday morning until they closed at 9 o'clock that Sunday night, they were so busy. Standing room only, and the line standing was going all the way outside into the parking lot, and it's just unbelievable. Yeah. The waitresses that hit, never seen this before as long as they've been there. But I mean, it brought people to the town, but it's not a good way to bring people to town, but at least it's accomplished something. Wow. And of course, Rainey's Market donated food and water to the firemen after the fire was going for over 4 hours there. About 1 o'clock, he sends some stuff down, and the firemen loved it. You had to take firemen out of that fire environment and put them over where it was cool off a little bit. Not much, because it was, the heat index is over 100 most of the night.
Yeah.
But the thing is, that everybody's wondering why they pulled 16 fire departments in. Well, you had to have a manpower, because you could only leave the firemen up there 25 minutes the most, and bring them out to relax, calm down, and cool off. And another crew of firemen. Another part about it was really concerned with Bunnell was they had 8 water tankers, 3,500 gallons of water that were pumping out of all the fire hydrants in the area, and that starts sucking our water tower pretty good. And of course, Gillespie was pumping everything they could straight down to us, and it was not much going to the tower. It was just coming, flowing straight into there, and it started getting concerned. Our pressure, we lost a little pressure, and when that happened, we double checked, make sure everything was running smoothly. We made a couple of corrections on our water tower. It's the first time that water tower since it was built in 2003 that we had a test of what could happen to it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it passed. Not flying colors, but it passed good enough that we found out that we can handle almost anything. But when the fire broke through that roof, that was where the problem became.
We
took Drummond and Whistler's pond. We were drawing there. We were drawing water from Staunton, Warden, Williamsville, Shipman, Gillespie, Carlinville. And there was like almost 100 firemen there. And the tankers were just running constantly back and forth. But it was, nobody really got hurt.
That's good. And that's the good news.
Right.
That's the good news.
I mean, a couple of
minor injuries.
Very minor, because one guy was trying to put the fire out, and he got a flash burn when it broke through with the smoke.
Yeah. So.
And the band got out of there. They were trying to bring the bands back Saturday night and make another big thing. And they were
like
in
the
there.
Old days, yeah.
Yeah. And they brought them people back in. They got them out when they saw that thing. I'm using the word explosion. I hope
popped.
A pop.
There was a pop, apparently.
And they got out of there, and they said if they would have been another 10 or 15 seconds, they would have been in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But we thank the city of Bunnell. Thanks, everyone, in cooperation and helping.
Yeah. That's great. Little towns get together and kind of watch each other's back.
As far away as Hamel.
Yeah.
Jerseyville sent a water tanker. I mean, we had people from all over. And the District 7 Fire Department, got to compliment them. They controlled the fire, and they kept from anybody going in because they were so crammed with antiques, souvenirs, everything in there. You had too much. When the smoke and everything, you probably couldn't see anything.
Yeah.
That's why they decided not to put anybody inside.
Yeah.
They fought it from the air, from the Litchfield Snorkel, And that was really pumping water.
Isn't that a neat machine?
That is.
That's neat.
I've seen them work before, but that was the first time I saw it work.
Oh,
yeah.
Here. This is pretty
But we
pretty
want
awesome.
To thank everybody, the city of Bunnell, that appreciated their help and everything to control it.
So, sounds great. Sounds great. Coming up, let's turn our attention to next month, the Fall Festival. It's less than 2 months away.
It's less than 2 months now.
Yeah, less
I
than
got
2 months.
Down to the hour almost.
Yeah, it's less than 2 months away. So the Fall Festival on Saturday the 24th of September at Bunnell City Park. Of course, it starts off with the Tour de Cole bike ride, and I know Paul, you're still involved with that.
I'm still involved. I won't let him go.
I won't let him go.
He's like John Mosley, like he's trying to sign you to a long contract.
This is the sixth annual event, and I remember about six and a half years ago when Mickey first approached about ideas to help with the, and I came up with the idea on the bicycle ride, and of course Mickey came up with the idea that somebody should run that, and it's been a pleasure to volunteer. It's one way to give back to the community, and whatever efforts I've done are minimized by all the volunteer help that we get. Mickey is, of course, hardworking and essential in getting this thing together. And we have a committee of gentlemen that meet approximately once a month and plan and organize and make the event be successful. Last year was our fifth year, and we had nearly 500 riders. The first year, the very first, we had 98. And I'll remember because I was hoping to get 100, but we were too short. But anyway, it's grown every year. Whether it will grow this year or not, you never know.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that the heat will probably be broken for permanent by then. At least we hope it is. We hope the roads will be good. I was on some of the roads yesterday, and some are pretty rough right now. I mean, a lot of rock, a lot of this, that, and the other, and I'm going to have to see what we can do about it. Looking forward to hosting the event again.
Yeah, these oil and chipped roads sometimes take a beating in the summertime.
Well, there was one road that's it's more than it may be oil, but it's more than chip.
Yeah,
it's actually kind of rock.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's going to be an issue if we can't get that resolved in some way. But people come prepared to ride under whatever conditions, and cyclists generally like nice, smooth roads. They don't always get that.
Well, no, they don't. And most people who have done this sort of thing for any sort of time has probably been over a rough patch or two.
I rode last year in a ride up in the Amish country. I can't think of the name of the town, but it's quite a ways up north and east. And it's right in the heart of the Amish country, and the roads were just, it had been really hot. And that wasn't the best conditions to ride in.
So. Is that the one off the Interstate 57, just south of Champaign?
Somewhere in there, yes.
Arthur. Arcola.
Arthur is the name of the town where it started. So.
Yes. I used to work at a radio station that was smack dab in the middle of the country between Arthur and Sullivan. So
that was a very interesting experience for me. The people, the horses, the wagons, the harvesting of crops by horses that were out in the fields. It was really just a step back in time.
Yeah, it's
and,
an interesting
you know, it was very intriguing and very interesting. But anyway, our ride begins at 7 on Saturday, the 24th of September. You can still register. You can register online through the Cole Country website. You can register by going to active.com and typing in Tour de Cole, or you can register by picking up a paper registration, and hopefully we will have a good event again this year.
We also have it on our face page now.
Okay, Mickey, you heard that. I wasn't aware of that. So
well, we just got it up about the 15th of July.
Okay. So another recent happening is Facebook, I guess.
And by the way, we mailed our first postcard out for the last 3 year riders, and we've got probably 36 back, and we already got three from over 300 miles away, one from Paducah, Kentucky, one from Ohio, and the other one is from someplace in Tennessee. I don't remember the name now. But we also have the your friends from the Hannibal Quincy Bicycle Club have sent their registration things in already.
I've been told a couple of people that I have ridden with in the past from Arizona and North Carolina are going to come this year and participate.
Okay. Really?
So, I mean, you know, in the past, or well, like last year, we had riders from about six states, you know, surrounding this area, Tennessee, Kentucky, Iowa.
Ohio.
Ohio. We even had one from California one year, but I think that was a visitor from coming back to visit relatives.
Yeah,
but
yeah, that's right.
We'll
that.
Count it anyway.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It goes on the
We're looking forward to another good event. And if anyone wants to volunteer, contact the Cold Country Chamber. We constantly are looking for volunteers to run rest stops and help with the festival in the park, et cetera. So contact the Cold Country Chamber.
Will there be maps available again? With
yes, the day of the race, okay. We'll have the map. We'll have where they go and everything. Because we don't want to give the maps out ahead of time.
True.
Because up to the last minute, one year, about three, 4 years ago, we had a situation that we had to make an emergency change. So we were able to do it the night of the night before the race, make that adjustment real quick there.
You still going to designate the former mines?
Yes, but it will not be on the map that we give away that
okay.
day.
Yeah. Okay.
It was just getting too cluttered, and some people were saying they could not.
Couldn't read
it. The map has been made easier to read, and we've reduced some of the clutter.
Yeah.
One of the things we're going to do is Mickey's going to have to test ride all the routes this year. So I'm starting him out today on the 66-mile route. We want to at least know what it's done by the time the event gets here.
Now, Mickey rides a tricycle, right? I mean.
But in all seriousness, we do look at it as a community event that invites anybody and everybody. It's a family event. There's a ride of 15 miles.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you can ride 2 miles if you want to and turn around and come back.
Sure. Sure.
But we will be providing SAG support. SAG is an acronym for support and gear. And the cyclery out of Edwardsville will be providing that. And we will hopefully have a wonderful event again.
Hope for good weather.
And it's not a race. I want to make sure everybody understands that.
This is a good family type
event. And we see more and more every year. We see more families do that. And the also another thing, too, it ends at the Bunnell City Park at the Fall Festival. The riders, when they come in and pick up their package, they get a ticket for a free sandwich and a free drink from the Chamber's food booth. And they're just amazing. And then people, they're starting to ride back at 9:30, 9 o'clock. And they're coming in there, they're hungry and things, so we have to kind of made some adjustments in the past couple
and
of
through,
years on
and
that.
And through the years, the number of people that ride that participate in the Fall Festival has increased exponentially. I mean, it continues to increase. Mickey said it's not a race. We do have a component of people that come that it's a race for them, but that it's not an official race.
They may be competitive.
We have a group out of St. Louis, several cycle clubs out of St. Louis, and to them it is a race. They do the 66-mile route, and they can cover that quicker than I can get across town on a bicycle.
Gentlemen, we're out of time on this Thursday morning. I really appreciate you coming over. We look forward to being at the Fall Festival on the 24th, doing some broadcasting, and, of course, with school starting, Paul, I know you've got another year. An exciting year ahead of you. And
yes, we do.
Always good to talk to you, my friend. And
Mickey, everything,
good to see you.
Any information they need on both Tour de Cold Bike Ride or the Fall Festival, go to coldcountrychamber.com or go to our Facebook. Any information there, or download an application, anything like that. Give us some comments on our Facebook and tell us if we're going in the right direction. That's what we want.
And Football Friday, 3 weeks from tomorrow. There you go.
There we go.
How about that?
And we're off. They're about ready to kick off.
Off to the races again, aren't we, my friend?
Yes.
That's it for our special edition of the Thursday Talk Show. Thanks to Paul Skeens and Mickey Robinson for joining us. Stick around. The man, the myth, the legend, Earl Sarles up next with that opening commodity market report here on AM 1540.